Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Madnin!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Okay. Hey, Bunty. Hi again. Hi to listeners. So I thought for our final story today, or one of the stories today, there's this video that went viral a while ago of a chap on a two-wheeler who was a Zomato delivery guy who was actually filmed eating from a pizza box and some other food. Sorry, excuse me. And, you know, there's some mirth that ensued, and Zomato said that, you know, this doesn't reconcile with our values as a company, etc. I think the guy's been fired, but there have been a bunch of things raised. I mean, there's an element of, you know, humor, but I think that humor is mixed with a certain kind of pathos about the fact that, you know, people who work these jobs, I mean, maybe he was hungry, he couldn't afford food. Then I saw some tasteless remarks from some people about how, you know, the guy was fat, he was paunchy, so it didn't look like he was starving. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you're not hungry. I think that's where it stands right now. But to me, you know, I could see that there is that element of, like, in a more egalitarian society, this would have been funnier. That's how I put it.
Okay. Look, I think this is important for us to talk about for a couple of reasons, because one of the things that we both of us have noticed is the rise of the gig economy across the planet, right? And India is no exception. Right. So there are a group of people who are employed by, whether it's a cab driving firm, a food delivery firm, or any other services, or maybe, you know, people who provide, you know, local services for delivering, taking, running errands, etc., which is available. And what people do generally is they choose to work like this because there's no long-term employment prospects available for them. So it's a job, right? Mm-hmm. And for everything that they do, they get a percentage of the service that they provide as their salary. Yeah, right? Yeah. So there's overhead. What I found very tragic in this one was this guy who's clearly, whether he's fat or not is not the point.
Yeah.
He was hungry, and he was in the business of delivering food, and he decided that the orders that he had to deliver were worth opening up, tucking into, and having. And then where the deception comes in is he then puts back an eaten portion of the food and then supplies it to the customer as their legitimate delivery, right? So there are two points here. One, a hungry employee who's, you know, a participant in the gig economy, who has now, as we've established, incidentally lost his job, right? And the second is the act of deception.
Correct.
Both of these have their own commentary to carry. The first one is about the essential unfairness of the system, where this guy is basically circulating food worth, you know, thousands of rupees through the day, but he can't afford his own square meal. So there's this tragic element. The bit that I don't understand, aside not the fact, not the fat issue, but the deception issue, right? If he was hungry, he ate the food, and decided that order was damaged or something, right? You know, gir gaya ya kuch ho gaya. You know, would that have worked better? Because, you know, the only bit that sticks jars is this guy then trying to fob off delivery as a legitimate delivery, which I think is kind of the devious bit, which I don't like.
Yeah.
But on the first part, there's no question that this guy, is this something that you lose your job about? You know, is people, because that, lots of people who are holding down jobs for much bigger, having made much bigger mistakes.
Including, I would say, our Prime Minister for demonetization, right? But yeah, you know, it's a very good question. Yeah, that was kind of, you know, I mean, there's sort of obviously, there's all kinds, you know, there's public health issues, there's hygiene issues involved, and there's a, you know, there's a violation of a contract. I mean, but, you know, that said, that if you look at the amount that these people are paid, you know, the gig economy is it's basically a new form of exploitation. I mean, I have colleagues who do some research on this, and I live in one of the centers of the world where the gig economy kind of started, which is San Francisco. Right. And now, you know, you can get a lot of things delivered to you, and it's sometimes annoying that, you know, you want to get, like, let's say an $8, you know, wrap or something like that. So the delivery fee is $5. Then there's some service processing fee, which is $2. All of that is going to the establishment. Then there is some tip that you have to add. And, you know, some percentage of the delivery and processing fee is going to the person who's doing that job. And then the tip is going to them. And you know that, you know, they're making so little in the relative scheme of things to live in an absolutely exorbitant city like San Francisco that you then don't want to scrounge on the tip. So it's very odd. So you've ordered something worth $8 and you wound up spending basically like $16 for the, you know, benefit of not having to move. And then you can, you know, do the opportunity cost calculation, parking, etc. But I think the larger point is that in a first world society where so many people... A prosperous city, one of the richest cities in the world, one of the richest belts in the world, and I think it's the same in London, that you have so many people who, you know, many of these are young graduate kids who are graduates, or there are people who, you know, who held stable jobs and then got fired because they were, like, downsized or reduced or whatever, the size of the workforce was reduced. They have to do these jobs just to make ends meet, and with no kind of security and some kind of constant commission basis. If this is happening in a San Francisco or London, you know, and imagine in India where there is greater inequality, there's, you know, the vast majority of Indians actually make very little money. There was a statistic on the Spectator Index which said that India has the second highest percentage of people living on less than $5.5 a day after Nigeria. We are at 87.8, Nigeria is 91.2 or something. So to me, that is, you know, the really larger issue out here, that, yeah, I think what also would have happened is, I don't know what Zomato's policies are, so I don't certainly want to, like, malign them inadvertently, but your average employer, let's say it's a family-run business, they treat their employees not very well, has been my sort of anecdotal observation. So if a guy said that, I slept off on a local train, or I was carrying food on a two-wheeler, the two-wheeler swerved, the food fell into the trash... he would be fired for that, or he'd, you know, it would be cut from his wages or something like that. It's not very unlikely.
Look, there's not much to say. This is a tragic incident at a couple of separate angles, right? What this man's hunger made him do, whether he was being paid enough, and obviously the deviousness of what he tried to pass off as a kind of legitimate delivery. So there are three angles. You know, this guy's no saint. You're not saying that this guy is saint. So it is disturbing at many levels, but, you know, you have to do the root cause analysis, as they call it. What drove this guy to kind of open the pack of the meal delivery and tuck into it? And I think the wider point that, you know, how are people who are working in this kind of disorganized sector in India, particularly large urban centers, who's looking out for them and their welfare? Or are they joining this kind of already large underclass, you know, who are servicing the middle to upper middle class service requirements with very little rights and kind of benefits accruing to themselves in that service they provide? You know, what can be done about this? But look, I'm sure there are some, you know, NGOs and Netavas people who are leading on this, but it's just a vista that opened up, and I just thought we needed to talk about this.
Yeah, no, I think it's an important issue that we have raised. And we'll go back to talking a little more about the gig economy as well. I mean, you know, what is this model of capitalism? I go to these websites and you see these economists who otherwise, you know, who praise it to the skies that, oh, it's wonderful and dynamic and this and that. But it's not really. When people live in such conditions of precarity with such uncertainty, there are severe costs it takes in terms of anxiety, mental health, and then eventually those costs really translate into social costs. Now, to make this critique is not to sort of advocate for some kind of, you know, Stalinist socialist system. But the point is that, you know, beneath this romanticization of, you know, Uber and all of this. There is this, there is the exploitation of someone's labor, and then there are many, many stories like this. So I think, we'll probably leave it at that and then pick this up again later.
Chalo, take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.